Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
If you'll turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, if you stand for the reading of God's word. Again, welcome to the house of the Lord today. We're going to begin a new series today in the book of Galatians. Here, Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. Grace to you and peace from God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated this morning. To give you a quick glimpse at the background here, Paul is writing not to just one church, but he's actually writing most likely to four churches in this region. Galatia had a northern and a southern region. Paul was most likely writing to the churches, four churches that he founded in the southern region here. And so what had happened with these churches is similar to what happened with Philippi in the book of in his letter in Philippians, was that some false teachers, specifically Jews, had come in and they were once again trying to exert control over these Gentile believers by telling them they had to essentially become Jews. So they had to go through the rites and the rituals. They had to be circumcised. I mean, they had to become, in all sense, a Jew in their beliefs and their actions and their behaviors if they were going to be saved. And of course, we know that that is not the truth that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That gospel is that you and I can never do or say or be enough for God to forgive us or save us. He doesn't require rituals. He doesn't require sacraments. He doesn't require any of those things for you and I to be saved. His only requirement is faith that he is who he says he is, and his son, as Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, right? That he is, and believe in your heart that he has risen from the dead and you're saved, right? So that is the only requirement, faith and belief that Jesus Christ is God and that he died for our sins, rose 3 days later, right? And so that's the only requirement. There's nothing we could do, say, to be good enough or earn the salvation of God. And of course, there is no requirement anywhere within the gospel that non-Jews have to convert to Judaism. Nowhere is that a requirement. And so Paul is addressing this once again. And the way that his critics had come in here to Galatia, to these churches, is that they were coming in and they were questioning Paul's authority as an apostle. They were stirring up trouble. I suspect, based on some of the things that he is going to say, that they were maybe even bringing up his past with the fact that he persecuted the Jews in the church at the beginning. But they were attacking him and trying to discredit him. So the truth, the only reason to do it was to control the Gentiles. Let me tell you that the Jews in general did not treat non-Jews very well in general. They looked down upon them. They were, in many cases, prideful and arrogant. Of course, they rightly so saw them as the chosen of God, but they were God's chosen nation and God's chosen people. But as Paul writes in the book of Romans, they were blinded by their own vast knowledge and kidded themselves on how intelligent they were, and they really weren't children of God because they weren't spiritual children of he let them know that they were arrogant, and you know they had a habit of mistreating Jews. In fact, it had gotten so bad that there was actually James, the brother of Jesus, who was essentially the de facto head of the church of Jerusalem. He had to call what's called the Jerusalem Council because Gentiles were being saved. And Paul was preaching this message of faith, the justification alone, and that the Gentiles did not need to be circumcised and all of these things. And it became such an uproar. In fact, this letter was written before that meeting occurred. And it became such a problem with the Jews trying to force Gentiles to become Jews, to convert to Judaism, that they had a council in Jerusalem where everyone came together to include Paul. And they all came together to decide what to do. And a letter was crafted where it was decided that Jews should keep doing what Jews were doing. Right? They needed to go ahead and be circumcised and all those things. But Gentiles did not have to do that. Now, they had to accept Christ, and they needed to observe the Sabbath. And there were certain things, of course, as it relates to, being obedient to God, that they were required. But when it came to Jewish rituals, they did not have to obey them. As long as they were serving Christ, had a relationship with God, and were living accordingly, there was nothing else required from them. And a letter was given to Paul to take with him, and that letter was distributed among all the Jews as well. That's how bad it had gotten. And so the Jews were trying to exert control over the Gentiles to force them. And in doing so, because of the message Paul had preached, they were trying to discredit him. And that's why Paul starts here with what they have labeled here as the greeting, though it's a very interesting greeting. He says, Paul, an apostle. So he says, I am an apostle. Now, apostles, officially in the Bible, are those who saw Christ. So in the Bible, those who saw Christ, they were apostles. And so Paul had an apostolic authority because why? Jesus appeared to him directly, right, on the way to Damascus and knocked him off his camel, his horse, whatever it was that he was riding, and changed his life. So he too had a direct encounter with Jesus Christ, right? And so he was an apostle. And he says, I'm an apostle. And he says, listen, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ. So he tells them, no man anointed me as apostle. No man gave me his blessing. No man called me out. No man knocked me off my horse on the way to Damascus, right? No man did those things. It was Jesus Christ who appeared to me and called me, right, as an apostle. And he says it is Jesus Christ who raised him. It was God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. So he's greeting them. He clarifies that he is an apostle who was chosen by God, Jesus Christ, and God the Father, right? And then he says, and then along with me, the apostle, with all of these credentials are the brethren who are with me. So that's his greeting. So he didn't just say, hey, I'm Paul the apostle, I greet you along with all the brethren. He felt the need to establish why he was an apostle. Not because man called him, not because man sent him, but because God the Father and Jesus Christ called him and sent him. All right? So that's the tone of the letter. Listen, you need to listen to what I have to say, because I am speaking from God. God chose me. He called me. He gave me a message. Listen up. Right? So remember too, let me just say this, is Paul had the fruit in his life to bear that there was change. Mm-hmm. Remember, Paul, they knew of him, right? He persecuted the Christians greatly. So much so that he went out, he was taking their land, throwing them in jail. He was complicit in their deaths. Like he was, He was so zealous in his persecution, that's why he went to the chief priest and said, can I get letters to go to Damascus? To go get the Christians there, right? I mean, he was zealous to go after them of what he considered to be a threat to the Jewish faith and religion and their belief system. And so he was zealous to kill them, to destroy them, to persecute them. And he went out of his way to destroy their lives, right? But when God appeared to him, Jesus appeared to him and called him and struck him blind, he was changed forever, right? And his life reflected that change. Remember when Ananias took him and introduced him, the people were afraid of him? They were scared of him because of what he had done. But because of the change in Paul, his attitude, his words, I'm sure his way he projected himself, they had to say something is different in this guy. And so his change was also a reflection of the call that God had put upon his life. So he says, listen up, I'm an apostle, here's why. He then tells them, hey, grace to you, peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, I'm praying for God's grace and God's peace upon you. The one who gave himself for our sins, of course, Christ died for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Age there does not mean a time frame or a time. Age is talking about like a world system, right? So our world is dying since Adam and Eve ate the fruit, right? Our world has been cursed. The earth is cursed. It's dying. Governments are evil. People are evil. Rulers are evil, right? And it's ruled ultimately by who? Satan, right? Devil is the ultimate one who is ruling the earth. Right? And so Adam willingly gave Satan control when he disobeyed God and he ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? And so he gave up the deed. And so when he did that, Satan is in control. And so when he says to deliver us from the evil of this age, he's saying to deliver us from the worldly system that Satan is in charge of. Disease and sickness and famine and death and persecution and all everything that is anti-Christ, anti-God. So to deliver us from those things, according to the will of God and the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. So again, I'm Paul, I'm an apostle, here's why that is the case and why you should listen to me. Here's the greeting, grace praying for you, right? And I greet you in the name of Jesus because of all these things, and here's everything that he did for us. Verse 6, he says, I marvel, I cannot believe that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul is so disappointed and surprised that they are so quickly, listening to the teaching of Jews, which is completely contrary to what Paul had taught them. Paul didn't just blow in here. You know, we have a saying when I was a kid with evangelists, they would have these three-day revivals. That's typically what they were, 3 days, right? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, something like that. And an evangelist would come in, and the phrase was, he would blow in, blow up, blow out. Right? Come in, preach the three messages. People would get excited and all of these things. And then when they left, next Sunday, it was back to normal. Yeah. Right? Blow in, blow up, blow out. Paul didn't do that. Paul went there and he stayed for a couple of years. Barnabas was ultimately actually sent to Paul while he was in this region. And they pastored there. So they didn't just go in and preach. Paul was there teaching them. Preaching them, starting the churches, right? So he didn't just come in there and in a weekend or even a month preach this message that changed the world and leave. He stayed there. He discipled. He cultivated, right? He did more than just show up and preach, right? So he's surprised after the investment that he made in the teaching and the discipling, right? That when some Jews came in behind him teaching a different message, that they so quickly put aside what Paul had taught them and started jumping on to what the Jews were teaching, meaning the Jews were trying to bind them in legalism. You have to be obedient to the law. You have to be circumcised. You have to, you know, wash your hands before you. All the rules and all the legalism that the Pharisees had placed on the Jews for hundreds of years, these Jews were now trying to force upon the Gentiles. Now, I can see where there would be some struggling, because I'm sure the Jews who showed up here showed up with credentials, right? Many of them came in the name of the Jerusalem church, which was essentially the home base, right? And Paul went to Jerusalem, and he brought, when Jerusalem was under famine, he brought food and money and supplies from the other Gentile churches to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was like a hub, right, for the early church. It's where James, the brother of Jesus, was leading things, right? And so what would happen is the Jews would leave Jerusalem with some misplaced sense of authority, because they were Jews and they were from Jerusalem. And they would come, and they would come in there with these fake credentials, right, from man. They would say, hey, we're from James. And James's name, you ever have someone use someone's name in vain like that? I'm from so-and-so. You should listen to what I have to say. Name drop, right? You know, to try to have some sort of undue influence, unearned influence, right? To give a boost to their reputation so that they could get what they want. That's what these men were doing. They were coming in here saying, hey, we're from James, right? And so they were coming with a false credential. So be careful with people who name drop and bring credentials from man. Right? Listen, I think that people should be educated. They should study, right? I'm not against going to Bible college. I'm not against getting your degree from a seminary. None of those things. I personally did not do things because that way, there was a time where I wanted to go to Bible college. My life, based on decisions and trajectory, did not make it that way. So I'm not against anyone who gets their degrees. But if someone comes to you and preaches the gospel, and the way they start is, I am Dr. So-and-so, and with my degree in theology, there might be a problem. Yep. Right? Paul didn't come and say, I'm a Pharisee, a religious leader who studied and has way more knowledge of the Old Testament than any of you do. He said, I'm a chosen by God. I'm chosen by God. Even though Paul educationally was probably, he was head and shoulders above all the disciples for sure, right? When it came to education, Pharisees were the most educated in the Jewish population. Now, many of them were lawyers and teachers, right? They were the educated. So he was more educated than Peter and John and James, right? Like the guy, but that's not how he presented himself. He didn't present himself as a, you know, here are my degrees. He said, I am called by God. So be wary, folks, of people who come to you and say, well, I have a degree in such and such, or I'm from such and such church, or such and such denomination. Listen to me, right? It should always be because of the calling of God upon our lives. And the truth is, many times we won't even have to share that. Right? I'm sure when Paul came to these churches in the beginning, he did not have to go over all of his qualifications that made him an apostle. They knew it through his words, his actions, his life, and he got their favor because of his life and who he was and the Holy Spirit inside of them and God's favor, right? The problem is we all know that over time, when people we respect and love move on, maybe they pass away or they move or whatever, the enemy can send folks in our lives to make us question ourselves.
Yep.
Amen. He did the same thing with Eve in the Garden of Eden. He got Eve alone and he deceived her. Make no mistake, she was deceived. Even Paul says she was deceived. He deceived her and tricked her, got her alone. So even though God had told Adam, and Adam had relayed to Eve the rule, don't eat of this tree, when Eve was alone, Satan, through the serpent, was tempting her to try to trick her into believing what? That maybe either God lied or that God did not say exactly what Adam had told her. Maybe it was wrong or she heard wrong, right? And so it's no surprise that when those who are in religious or in authority over us from a spiritual perspective, maturity, right? If they move on or they pass away, whatever the case may be, it is ripe if someone does not fill the void for someone to come in and lead them astray. And that is what is happening here. Paul and Barnabas left, right? And when they left, someone at some point swooped in these sect of Jews and started corrupting what Paul had taught them. And Paul is disappointed. He's like, I cannot believe you so quickly turned from what I taught you, what you were, we preached. All right. He says, verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul says here emphatically, even if I come back and those who are with me come back and they preach to you something different than what I shared with you originally, consider them, let them be accursed. Even if I came back, even if God sent an angel from heaven, that is how emphatic he is, right? That what was preached the first time is the gospel and the only gospel. Justification, salvation through faith alone, right? So no matter who came, what their credentials were, no matter how eloquent they spoke, no matter how they twisted the Old Testament, no matter how good their argument sounded, if it did not line up with the teaching of Paul, they were to discount it. And Paul says they should be accursed. Let God put a curse upon them. All right? This is critical, guys, because if you and I, especially, I'm telling you, false prophets are rising frequently. I mean, this is the end of time, right? We are getting close. False prophets are rising, false teachers who are giving enough of the gospel to be heard and then putting with it lies and deceit straight from the enemy. Yes. To try to destroy and deceive Christians. Amen. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Who are giving just enough. They weren't denying that you could be saved, that Jesus was the way for salvation. They weren't denying Jesus as the Messiah. They weren't denying of his death, his resurrection, right? They were not denying any of that. They were adding to it. In order for this to all be complete, you've also got to be circumcised. You've also got to follow these rules. You've also got to participate in these traditions. And Paul is saying absolutely untrue. And that is a message for you and I. While someone may not be heaping upon us legalism or condemnation, which that is happening as well, right? That's been happening forever. I can remember as a kid, pastors, evangelists coming in and criticizing women for long hair, for short hair, for wearing jewelry, right? Or putting on makeup, or men for having beards, for having facial hair. All legalism. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in scripture, right? Does it say, thou shalt woman have short hair. If you look at the scripture, what they try to use to justify that, it was women were not to shave their heads because in the Corinthian church, women, the prostitutes at that time shaved their heads so you would know they were a prostitute. Right? And so what they would do is the women, when they got saved, as a sign of rebelliousness to their husbands, they would shave their heads. So it was an act of rebelliousness to say, we're free, we can shave our heads like the prostitutes. Take that, husband, who says I have to have long hair. That's where that came from. that is not apply to us today, unless you're shaving your head rebelliously, right? Then you're okay to have short hair, ladies. I mean, and what I'm saying that is, in general, false prophets like to come in and they add to the gospel beyond what it is, whether it's legalism or even in this day and age, a sense of you could just live however you want to be happy, once saved, always saved, good to go, behave however you want. That is untrue as well. Well, I do believe that you and I have a security in Christ that does not give us a license to live however we want to live. If you and I know Christ as Lord and Savior, it will be reflected in the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, the lives that we live.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so when a teacher that gets it 90% correct adds on 10% lies, they are to be accursed. Now, I'm not talking about people who make mistakes. I've made mistakes, folks. I made a mistake this morning in Bible study where I was supposed to be talking about 14 generations, and I kept saying 16 generations, and Miss Kim corrected me. I make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes, right? That's not what I'm talking about. When you stand up and you preach every Sunday or teach whatever or frequently, eventually you're going to say something, probably not on purpose, that's might wrong. Right? And I try to catch myself and I'll go back and listen and go, I can't believe I said that. I misused a name or I misused a scripture reference or something. That's not on purpose. That, right? I'm not trying to deceive anyone, take anyone for granted. But so you know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are taking the gospel and adding to it to get a following, to get influence, right, to get control. We must be careful because we are facing that today.
Yes.
Verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now, this is a very powerful verse, and let me tell you why. Paul admits here, he says, do I have to persuade men or God, right? Well, of course, it's God who knows the truth. He doesn't have to persuade God. Right? Or do I seek to please men? Am I doing this just to please men? Absolutely not. He says, for if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul is saying here first that when he was doing his thing as a Pharisee, it was to please men. He was looking for the approval of the high priest, the teachers. He was a very well-respected teacher named Gamaliel. Right? He was doing it for their approval. So when he was out there persecuting Christians and he was having them arrested and killed and having their lands taken away, he was doing so for the approval of men. He thought he was seeking the approval of the high priest, the other religious leaders. Mm-hmm. However, when he started preaching the gospel of Christ, he no longer was seeking the approval of men. He was seeking the approval of God, the God who called him. You say, well, Pastor, that's not all that challenging. It is, because if you and I are seeking the approval of anything outside of God, then we are need to look as if we are truly his servant.
Yeah.
If we are doing things with a motivation that is outside of God, then we need to reflect on that. Paul goes so far to say, if I was still looking for the approval of men, if I was doing this for man's approval, then how could I possibly be dedicated to God? So when you and I are serving in this life and we're preaching, we're teaching, we're singing, we're playing, whenever we're serving in the kingdom of God, what is our motivation? It should always be God.
Amen.
Never should be to please men. There was a time in my life where I taught and I preached for a hand pat on the back and a word of, hey, you're so smart. And that is the facts. I preached for a handout. I was no different than a bum standing on the side of the road looking for someone to put a quarter in my pot. I was looking for man to praise me, to give me my value, to give me my worth. And when they didn't, I was destroyed. If they didn't pat me on the back, if they didn't tell me good job, if they didn't show up, My heart hurt. And I just felt horrible about myself. My pride was wounded. My ego was hurt, right? All of those things. Because I was doing it for the wrong reasons. Right? So we got to look. And like Paul, we need to say, hey, why am I doing this? And if we're a bondservant of Christ, if we belong to him, if we serve him, our motivation should always be Christ and not men. As long as our motivation is always Christ, it will not matter who stands against us, who rises against us, who speaks against us, who challenges us, who lies and tries to say that we're lying, because we know our authority, our calling comes from God. But if we're doing it for men, we will be tossed to and fro by their words, their actions, the way that they treat us. And when they're treating us good, we'll behave one way. And we are just like, right, animals. We have a dog. His name is Brat. Brat is a brat. That's why his name Brat. His name was supposed to be what? What was it?
Pluto.
We called him Pluto for about 2 days. And then my wife had started calling him Brat. And so that became his name. His name is Brat because he's a brat. And so he was especially wild as a puppy. And we tried to get him training. That backfired on us because of the way we did the training. So we ended up getting him one of them collars that gives him a little shock. And so felt guilty at using it first until Brat pulled Kelly down a couple of times. Now she got that collar out, baby. And she got it bumped up. And if he starts misbehaving, he gets a zap. I'm just afraid someday she's going to put it on me and start using it on me. But, it's shocking so he knows not to do that behavior again. You and I get conditioned in this world. We get shock therapy because when someone, we do a behavior and we're praised, we gravitate continuing to do that behavior, even if we know it's wrong.
Right. That's true, man.
Right?
Yep.
And we don't, who likes to feel pain? Who likes to be criticized? No one enjoys those things. We want praise. We want to be patted on the back. We want to be loved, right? And so if telling a dirty joke, or involving ourselves in something, watching a TV show that we know is wrong so we could talk about it at work or with our friends, right? Those are behaviors that we know that we shouldn't participate in, but when we do, they bring us acceptance. We get the reaction that we like, right? Why are kids class clowns? Because they get attention. They're getting acknowledged. They're getting acknowledged for their sense of humor or acting out, whatever they can. So when that happens, what do? They do it again and again and again and again. We are the same way. We're no different than the class clown. When you and I have to strive to not be conditioned by the world to please the world.
Amen.
I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. This is a good sermon right here. This part. The rest may be bad. This part's good. We got to be careful to not be conditioned by the world.
Amen.
We must be conditioned by the word of God and our relationship with God and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Allow the Holy Spirit inside of us to bring us the sense of fulfillment,
yeah,
right? The acceptance that we need instead of it coming from the world.
Amen.
We will, if we can learn that, that's where we'll run to get those things. But let me tell you, those things are not easy to come by, right? Kelly will tell you, I'll go in the refrigerator that'll be filled with food, and I will say, there's nothing to eat, right? And so rather than make myself something delicious and nutritious, I'll just get a bowl of cereal or grab a cheese stick or a cookie out of the cookie jar, right? Why? Because it's easy.
Yeah.
I get instant gratification by doing that. Because I don't want to put the ingredients together. Now, putting the ingredients together will actually give me more energy, more of what I need, and ultimately bring more fulfillment. This brother likes food. I like a nice meal. But I can get the instant gratification by just grabbing a cookie out of the cookie jar. Right? Now, the meal will satisfy me for hours. The cookie, I eat one, and in 5 minutes, I'm back for another one. Because it doesn't satisfy. Someone hear what I'm saying. This is good preaching, I'm telling you. I'm telling myself, not you, right? That's good preaching. We keep going back to get that gratification because it's instant. It's not what we need. It's not fulfilling ultimately. It will not give us what we need eternally and even to make it the next day, but it's quick, it's easy. I just grab it out of the cookie jar. I don't have to put any effort into it. That's how we live our lives. Now, the world, they live their lives by it every single day. Every choice they make is, what can I get? How can I meet my needs? We're not supposed to live that way as Christians. So we must check our motivation, not allow ourselves to be conditioned by the world to please the world. Because if we live to please the world, they will destroy us, tear us down, and they will ultimately hurt our relationship with God. Yes. No good can come of it.
Right. Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a lost for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.